I don't know if you've ever seen children who don't want to hear when you're telling them something. Perhaps you might, and I'm not asking for confessions, but perhaps when you were a child you may have done this. But I'm sure you've seen children when receiving some instruction they don't want to hear, they just put their hands over their ears as though they're not going to listen. Now, as we become adults, we become a little bit better at it. We're not quite as obvious about it. We may not be like the child who covers his ear, but we can easily disregard or discount or even discredit the one who's bringing the message we don't want to hear. And if we're in the position to do so, I suspect that we might even be like King Jehoiakim who wanted to silence Jeremiah. He didn't want to have anything to do with the message that Jeremiah the prophet was bringing. And so, as we'll see, he burned the scroll up and he was looking for Jeremiah, who was in hiding. No doubt, all of that has been tried time and again, right? Everything that he could possibly try, Jehoiakim did to silence the message of Jeremiah. Now, we need to put this in context. We're told here that it's the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. And I hope that you'll remember who Josiah was. Josiah was the man who found the law of God and brought reformation to the people of God. And now here his son is the king over Judah, having had the example of his father, but he's not walking in the example of his father. And it's the fourth year of his reign. He reigns for 11 years. But we encountered Jeremiah earlier in the book of Jeremiah, encountering this same king. In fact, it was at the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim in chapter 26. And the place appears to be the same, the new gates of the temple. And there you'll remember in chapter 26 that King Jehoiakim was instructed by God to take the word of the Lord to the people. And when he announced the great warnings and threatenings of God, you'll remember that King Jehoiakim sought to bring him to death. His life was spared, obviously, because now 4 years later, he's back in the temple court. Jeremiah is back here, and he is going to bring a message according to the way in which the Lord brings it. 4 years of Jehoiakim already, of those 11 years. And what is the year? It is 605 or 604 BC. In just a few short years, King Nebuchadnezzar will bring his troops to lay siege on Jerusalem. And at the time in which this event occurs, Nebuchadnezzar has already captured Ashkelon, just a little bit more than 50 miles away from Jerusalem. Things are ramping up. Things are getting serious for Judah and Jerusalem. And Jeremiah has been given his orders as he was in chapter 26. He would deliver the Lord's message to the Lord's people, to the people gathered around the new gate of the house of the Lord. And yes, again, the king would try to silence him, but without any success. So the first thing that we see that God commands Jeremiah here is that he commands him to write. Now this is no small task. Notice what he is to write. He's to take a scroll, verse 2, and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today, from the beginning of your ministry, from the time I called you, Jeremiah. Shall never fail. What does Jesus say in Matthew 5? Not one jot, not one tittle will pass away. Try to discredit the word. Try to disregard the word of God. Try even to destroy the word of God. God's word will never fail. Never. And how sad is the one who thinks that they can ignore God's word, disregard it, discount it, discredit it, for they do so to their own destruction. How sad that we live in a world, and I'm afraid that as we see this world going, we are going to find more and more and more a world that wants to silence the word of God. How sad. Because nothing can silence God's word. God will be heard. What was it Jesus said when his disciples were crying out as he was making his way to Jerusalem? As they were crying out, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, as the Pharisees and scribes were saying, "You better be careful what they're saying," Jesus says, "If these were silent, the stones would cry out." Nothing is going to silence God's word. Nothing is going to silence the Creator who made the heavens and the earth. No government authority will succeed. No so-called church or religious organization who seeks to discredit God's word will succeed. God will not be silenced. But for the one who rejects God's word, there will be great judgment. God is slow to anger. But the scripture says also, he will not let the wicked go unpunished. He intends to bring judgment to King Jehoiakim. And even as he instructs Jeremiah to rewrite all that he has already written, so notice the judgment that's going to come upon Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim will not have a son to sit on the throne of David. Notice what the Lord says in verse 30. Thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night, and I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. Oh, what great judgment. Well, we might say, well, he did have a son to follow him on the throne. But he only followed him for 3 months. And the Lord's judgments indeed would reign against Jehoiakim. And what is the lesson? Well, the lesson for us is that for a nation who refuses God, for a church that refuses God, and we have plenty of churches around the world that call themselves churches, but who deny the authority of the Word of God. For a nation or for a church or for an individual who refuses to bow to God's word, the message is clear. God will not be mocked. His word will stand forever. In fact, we have every indication to think that if God's word is rejected in this day when we have the fullest revelation in His Son, Jesus Christ, that the judgment will be even greater than the judgment endured by Judah, who rejected His word. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, the fullest revelation of the Father. And what does Jesus say? I just want to look at two passages very briefly, but in Matthew chapter 11, and I'm sure for many of you this will be a very well-known passage, but in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 7, we read, "And as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John." He's talking about John the Baptist, the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in..." "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." And then what did Jesus do? What began to happen? We find here that he began to denounce the cities where the most of the mighty works had been done. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes." Woe to a nation who's heard the gospel for over 200 years and yet rejects Christ. It's not just a rejection of the law and the prophets, my friends. It is a rejection of Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That is what we see here from Jeremiah. Friends, know this. It was not Jeremiah and Baruch that King Jehoiakim rejected. King Jehoiakim was rejecting the living God whose word never fails. And they did it with no regard at all. And things haven't really changed, have they? The world we live in quickly passes by Christ, quickly forsakes God's word as antiquated, quickly forgets the one to whom the scriptures point and in whom the scriptures are fulfilled, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I assure you that unless there is a revival in our time, I assure you that there will be many efforts and they will be growing in number. Political efforts, and efforts by the liberal churches and religious organizations who will try to silence the Word of God. And they will do so to their own demise. But friends, if you are in Christ, the good news for those who are by faith in Christ, who submit themselves to the authority of God's word, is that the judgment that you and I deserved have been met in Christ. And you know, don't you, that it's through the word of God that you came to know Jesus Christ. And it's because you trusted in Jesus Christ that you are ready to learn more and more and more, to dig deeper. What a blessing we have. We have so many who are willing to teach us God's word. What a privilege to sit under the teaching and the reading of God's word, but not just to do so for an intellectual exercise. I think if there's a proper complaint sometimes that is rendered against Presbyterians is that we value our learning, and that's a good thing, right? But it's not just knowing about God. It's knowing God. It's not just learning what we should do. It's doing it, isn't it? It's living according to His word. I remember talking to a friend years ago when our children were both teenagers, and he was complaining a little bit. And I just kept saying the same words over and over. I know. I know. I know. Finally, he caught on and started to laugh. And the reason that he started to laugh was because he had heard that many times as well. I know. But the knowing didn't always translate into the doing. And isn't that true of all of our lives? How often do we know what the Word of God expects, and yet we don't do what the Word of God expects? And so our knowing is important, but our knowing leads to doing. Faith without works, says James, is dead. We need to learn from the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of God, not just to fill our heads with all kinds of knowledge and so be puffed up, but to our profit and to our growth in grace. The Bible is to be learned and it is to be lived. And I know that as soon as I say that, you may think of someone who really needs to hear that. But each one of us needs to hear that, don't we? Each one of us are called to live out God's word. Each one of us is called to be obedient to His commands. The precepts are before us. And how important that we don't discredit them or disregard them or discount them just because they're difficult. Or just because we really don't want to hear that today. How important that we who claim to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior who was obedient even unto death on a cross. How important that we walk by faith, that we live unto Him in righteousness and holiness. His sacrifice doesn't free us from the law. It frees us from the penalty of the law. As though now we can live as we want. No, not at all. It doesn't free us from the law. But it drives us and it motivates us. And by His grace and enablement of His Holy Spirit, He enables us to put that law into action. And so we want to obey, not to earn God's favor, but because we have God's favor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, how important to treasure God's word. And how do we do that? We do that by His grace and by His enablement, living according to His commands. Oh, how sad for Jehoiakim. Oh, how sad for those who came under God's judgment. They thought they could silence the messenger and burn the message, and they'd be free. But little did they know judgment was yet to come. For God's word will stand firm forever. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, how we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the most supreme revelation in your Son, to whom your word points and finds its fulfillment. And we pray, O Lord, that you would cause us to be obedient to your word, submitting to its authority day by day. Bless us, we pray, through Christ our Savior. Amen.